Okay, the subject matter tonight is walk-ins. And I would like to preface it by saying that I want to tell a story about the first time I ever heard of walk-ins. And I have, this is part of the material that's coming out of the vault, and I'm going to tell the story about my walk with George Van Tassel. George Van Tassel was a great man who died in 1977, and I got a chance to know him before he died. He had a lot of ET contact. He lived at a place called Yucca Valley, Giant Rock, where there was this huge rock, and he had a little airfield. And he and his family lived under the rock. A lot of ETs would come and have contact with him there. And there's a whole story about George Van Tassel that we might get into later. But in 1976 and 77, I was down at Giant Rock a lot. And on one I'm going to just talk about this one particular time, because this is when George informed me about who I was, what I was to do, and he clued me in to what walk-ins were. What I didn't know that day, not only was he going to tell me about walk-ins, he was going to demonstrate a walk-in in front of me. So I'm going to read from my journal. George asked me to take a walk that afternoon with him. He said there were some things he needed to discuss with me in private. I agreed and put on my walking shoes and hat, and we began to climb over the sand dunes. In about 10 minutes, when we were out of view of the house, George started speaking to me in a very strange voice. I'd never heard this voice before, but it was one that I knew spoke with great authority, so I listened very intently.
Just hang on a second, Lavender. For those that just joined us, we'd like to welcome you and ask you quickly to just press *6 to mute your phone. Lavender has just started talking about her first experience with walk-ins, learning from George Van Tassel. So you want to just back up a couple sentences, please?
In about 10 minutes, when we were out of view of the house, George started speaking to me in a very strange voice. I had never heard this voice before, but it was one that I knew spoke with great authority, so I listened very intently. He told me that he and other beings, ETs and spirit world beings, had been watching me for years and had put part of the team, I was part of a team to prepare me for some extensive work that would be forthcoming in the next 25 years. He said that I had been part of an ET experiment from the moment of my birth and that I was coded in my blood cells. He knew that I was born with a double pineal, and that I had been part of a hybrid experiment, and that I'd be exposed to other world realities so that I could journal them. He said I was coded in my blood, and that these codes would be released upon certain timings, and that I'd be monitored day and night for the rest of my life on the planet. He explained to me about ET technology and implants, but more than that, he explained about time travel and what that would mean in the future when people understood the reality of going forward and backwards in time. Another topic was walk-ins and how that particular experiments were allowed with humans and the beings that would be in charge of such soul interchange. Remember, this was in 1977. No one had even mentioned walk-ins at that point, not even Ruth Montgomery or anyone. This was brand new information, was very hard for me to hear. When he would see that I was having difficulty in absorbing this information, he would take his hands and put over my eyes as though he were coding me with his hands. Then he would look at me in the eyes, stare for long periods to see whether it took or not. Then it went on for some time with each subject matter that he would tell me about. When he saw that I couldn't handle any more information, then we just walk in silence until I would speak. I ask a lot of questions and receive more than enough answers. This went on for about 3 hours. When it came time for closure, he instructed me to take his hands, look into his eyes, and with a jolt that I will never forget, charged me up with so much light that I thought that I would explode. He told me to go back to the house and wait for him, that he needed to be alone. He turned, walked toward Giant Rock, and I practically floated back to the house. When I returned, everyone was still talking about the manuscript, but I was totally focused on the information that had just been given to me. I could tell that I had to sit alone with this, so I excused myself and went to the bedroom to rest. Several hours passed, and Doris came in and asked where George was, and I told her that he said that he needed to be alone. She informed me that it was now 10 p.m., and that I'd been back since dusk. I must have looked bewildered as though time had escaped me somehow. Everyone seemed to start being anxious about George, and a search party was convened to go out and find him. They looked for 2 hours, but no George. Finally, when everyone was exhausted from looking at a very peaceful George, just walked up to the house and came in the door. A curious thing happened after that. He turned, winked at me, and did the following. He went around and touched everyone and talked with them, and in seconds, their entire perception of his absence was erased. I was the only one that was allowed to see this. This was part of my training, and I knew it. Another thing finally came over me. The George that left with me was not the George that came back. In other words, he told me the procedures of walk-ins and how they happened, and now he was one. It was the final demonstration. This was a secret that I would have to keep for a very long time. In about a month, I got a call from Doris telling me to come at once, that George had just died of a heart attack in a motel. I was in Santa Monica at the time, so it was about 3 hours until I could get there. Doris told me that when his spirit left his body, that the light bulb exploded and the table was split in half with a bright blue light. This did not surprise me. What did surprise me was when she confided in me that she felt like that she had not been living with the same person ever since he came back from his walk that day. She, too, had experienced another being in his body, and she told me that this being that left was only sent for a short period of time. She wanted me to record this, as she felt that I would know what to do with this material later. I took care of all the funeral arrangements for Doris, as she was in such a state that she could not think for herself with clarity. I don't remember much about this, as I was still processing the fact that George had left the day that we had taken the walk, not the person that we were memorializing now. It has now been 23 years since that eventful walk with George Van Tassel. I can truly say that if I had to mark a place in my life where I took a 180-degree turn, it'd be the walk in the sand dunes after reading the Wadi Scrolls. Now, I wanted to share that story because that was really the beginning of my understanding about walk-ins. And for George to demonstrate it in front of me, you know, it's like, and I knew that I had to keep this a secret because this was back in 77. You know, this is in a time when you certainly, this is one subject matter that would not be even be printed or talked about. Ruth Montgomery didn't even come out with her book till 1980 or 81. And then it was not directed toward E.T., experiments. It was directed as something else. So I wanted to share that. But before I go on, Ariel, is there any questions that you have that you think of that you might want to ask before I go on about the walk-in material?
Wasn't it at that time when George gave you the time frame that you couldn't tell anybody about this for 25 years?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the experiments that I was on, not only this, but, I mean, I was on a 25-year timetable of journaling light information. And this was the beginning of explaining to me what was about to happen to me. Because what started happening after that is really the rest of the journal that's in the vault. This is the beginning story. And I just pulled an excerpt out of here. I didn't really talk about the reason I was there or all the other things about Giant Rock. I mean, I just pulled this particular piece out about the walk-ins.
Right. Well, we have to start with one topic at a time and just layer it in.
Yeah,
there.
Right.
But is that when George told you to watch for a certain happening as your signal?
Yes.
Come out.
Oh, yes. Yes. But when we were walking out on the dunes, Giant Rock is this huge boulder. I mean, you can type in Giant Rock, California on Google, and you can see this rock. And he said, when that rock cracks, and lightning will come and strike it, and when it cracks, that will be a signal to you to release this information to the world. So there's a whole story about the day it cracked. It cracked in February of, 1999, 2000, somewhere in there.
2001.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, it's been several years ago. And lightning did come and crack it. In fact, when you Google it, you'll see a before and then after. You'll see where this rock has cracked right in two. And, of course, it's taken me all this time to start releasing, you know, little pieces here and there. And but it was very interesting the day that the lightning struck the rock. I was in Oklahoma, and I was actually looking at a picture of sand and with my mother, and I said, you know, why don't you sign this picture? She said, there's nothing on it. It's just sand. She said, well, I said, well, I'll finish it. So, well, you can't draw. And all of a sudden, I saw George walking on the sand in front of, and it, I went into this time thing, and when I looked, and then when I found out the day when lightning struck the rock, it was at that moment that I was looking at this picture when it struck. I thought that was kind of beyond coincidence. But anyway, there's a whole story about that later. But is that what you were talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Anything else before I go into the other walk-in material?
Not coming.
Okay. So, as my training developed and I started learning and experiencing the different walk-ins, I can't tell you how many assignments I've had where I've actually been in a room holding a person's head and being a metasurgeon when a person would leave and a new one would come. I've dealt with a lot of high-profile people on the planet and have been part of a team that has been responsible for bringing in some new thoughts and new energies through medicine, through science, through our government. It's really been truly a remarkable ride. I want to give the definitions now of walk-ins.
Before you start that, let me just remind everybody to press star 6, please, to keep the background noise down. If you haven't done that already, please press star 6. Thank you. Continue.
Okay. I'm going to read from the journal. Subject: walk-ins, permanent and temporary. Certain souls which wish to help usher in the new age of reason by walking in and bypassing the birth experience. And these souls have earned, through previous spiritual incarnations, the right to exchange egos with the original occupant of the physical human body. The original occupant may find themselves at the crossroads of life or teetering on the brink of disaster. Perhaps they have sidestepped their contract and, through agreement and mutual consent, allow a walk-in to inhabit their body. This is not to be confused with possession, for this mutual agreement is regulated by the laws of cause and effect. There are many degrees and variations of walk-ins, such as follows. The next is permanent walk-in. A permanent walk-in is a soul which has taken full responsibility for the original occupant's body, as well as the cause and effects with regard to friends and loved ones of the departing soul. This walk-in soul keeps a pact with the Galactic Council as to specific assignments on Earth. This one has divine protection and to others becomes known as a lucky person. They can function on many levels of mind and perform extraordinary feats to other walk-ins with ease when they meet and can recharge one another. These souls quickly and easily respond to cosmic laws, and while they will not break human laws, will simply refrain from involving themselves in civil matters. Once the mundane chores of life are dealt with, their main goal is to help or assist with the frequency change of the Earth in its travel toward the fourth dimension. All the work and energy of a permanent walk-in is directed toward this goal. Temporary walk-in. A temporary walk-in is a soul who seeks a special assignment of short duration of days, weeks, months, or even years. The walk-in soul and the original occupant coexist within the same body, using the same pineal, and it has been referred to as a split personality. However, there are actually two personalities, not one split. The agreement between the two souls is entered into willingly by commitment of a higher order. The intent being right, the goal of a walk-in is to be of service to the evolution of the planet. They are to complete unfinished business on the levels of cause and effect, which will affect large numbers of other souls. In other words, if a high being sees the need to affect a walk-in in order to bring a truth of light to another high being who has perhaps been trapped on Earth, then it becomes necessary to attach to a willing system long enough to gain and release the release of the entrapped being. Sometimes it could take weeks, months, or even years. Time is relative to how fast a soul grows to know the light, which is happening with more regularity than most people recognize. Most egos find it too hard to accept and therefore will not recognize these attachments. A walk-in's walk-in is born of an Earth mother and trained by other walk-ins along the way. Many talents develop from childhood because of special teachers who come to temporarily attach themselves in order to bring instruction in music, art, dance, literary, or other special talents. Most are never aware of this as children or even as adults. Again, the ego is unable to handle that knowledge. After the special teachers take their turns training the earthborn, then comes a period of rest and observation to determine how the earthborn walk-in blends the earth soul and body with the talents. Eventually, a channel of communication is opened between the walk-in and the Galactic Council. A walk-in's walk-in, with vision, will know approximately how long a temporary walk-in will stay attached in order to do their work. A knowing sets up events into time frames. When an assignment is over, a rest is sometimes needed for the physical body of the earthborn walk-in's walk-in. Heavy energies are transported from other dimension, which sometimes causes a great strain on the physical body, not to mention the mental strain of having to consciously deal with several attachments, or the suffering and mental agony over the rejection of such a galactic assignment. Walk-in walk-ins has divine and special protection even beyond that of some of the masters on Earth. This is by special compensation with guidelines which masters are not even required to follow. More help is brought to them because of the complexity of several galactic energies working through the body to bring to the project of a higher order. All of this is to aid the planet into the fourth dimension and into the new age of reason. A special task force of galactic beings were called upon to come to the planet of Earth to help in the raising of the consciousness. This was brought about because of the increasing number of destructive measures created by souls who veered into spiritual darkness. The Galactic Council chose particular Earth women carrying starseed in their blood to bear children by them. Therefore, these children have Earth mothers and galactic fathers. Most walk-in walk-ins are of this special human galactic combination. There are more walk-ins, permanent and temporary, than most people can contemplate. There are fewer walk-in walk-ins because of the sensitivity of the assignment and the specialization of the project. There are millions of walk-ins, permanent and temporary. But years ago, there were only thousands of walk-ins. But through the different Pleiadian lineup, we now have millions of walk-in walk-ins upon the planet. This does show the uniqueness of this group. The catalyst walk-in is that soul who also has the divine protection and seems to be in the right place at the right time in order to make events happen so that the divine plan stays on schedule. These devoted souls are the doves of the hierarchy who for centuries have acted as those who keep prophecy on its time track. They also specialize in coordinating people with projects to help to bring the new age through a new dimensional thinking. In times to come, when referring to Earth changes, these souls will be the leaders who will set up the laws which will govern the Earth. Most of them know who they are and in time will grow to realize their mission, which will be unfolded to them through dreams or visions or even perhaps by some other walk-in. The most important thing to remember is that all must help in this joint effort of dealing with the life force of remembrance. Together, the energies will prevail when channeled in the right direction. Activating walk-ins. Activating walk-ins are those high beings who have the assignment of activating blood crystals and memory traces of the divine plan. Most of the planetary energies activate the starseed, but in some cases, this has not always worked. So those with the energies which shoot the life force of remembrance pass it on to another starseed person, although that person may seem passive in knowledge. Since memory is carried in blood crystals, physical and psychic contact is made through the electrical magnetic energy emanations coming from the body. This brings us to physical contact such as sexual, touching hands, in passing change, brushing against another in the public place, etc. All walk-ins, permanent, temporary, and walk-ins have the qualities of being catalyst for all activation. And that is from my journal, which was written, looks like the date on this was February 26, 1982. Arielle?
That was a year and a half before you went to Egypt.
Right.
And where you had the ultimate walk-in demonstration.
Yes.
That would be kind of regressing, but you want to just recap that a little bit?
Well,
Jerry's
online tonight. He was there. He witnessed this. There were several of us that went to Cairo, Egypt, for the Pleiadian lineup, and there was like 18, I believe, inside the pyramid, and each one went into the sarcophagus box to experience initiation at different levels. And there was one particular person that got in the box and died. This was kind of a horrifying moment because, you know, we had to sign papers saying that no one would die in there. And how was I going to explain this? So Jerry was standing at one end, and Kim was on another, and Linda Stevens, she was there. Let me think. I think Kim must have jumped, or Linda jumped into the box. She had Bach Fly remedies. She pounded on his chest. This went on for about 6 minutes, and all of a sudden he gasped. He goes, and then he says in a very strange way, "They gave me a body without any arms." And we just, you know, of course he's breathing and he's talking about no arms, and then he sets up and he says, "I'm fine." I'm leaving now. He gets up and he walks out. Now, before this, he was kind of billing cooing with this girl, and she couldn't wait to, you know, to have him acknowledge her when he got out of the box. He gets out of this box, walks right past her like he doesn't even know her. And the reason he doesn't know her is because who was in there left, and a new one stepped in. And that was a demonstration for us. And there was a person outside the pyramid that couldn't get in that night because the time had been changed by someone. Anyway, she said a ship came and these thousands of tiny little lights came from the top of the pyramid up to the ship. And then another person that was in the sarcophagus right after him, he also got a walk-in. And at that same moment in Dallas, Texas, his ex-wife died at that moment. And so they left together. So this was pretty heavy stuff. This was pretty heavy stuff. I must say that this has not been easy to witness or to talk about at times. Is that what you wanted me to say?
Right, right, because it is on topic. And
yeah.
Just as a side note, if anyone has not yet seen the video or heard the MP3, which is on starseedhotline.com, and the video is also on YouTube, at Starseed Hotline. There is an interview of this in detail of this entire adventure from November of 1983 when Lavendar went to Egypt and officiated at this Pleiadian initiation in the Great Pyramid. And
that's when these crystals were coated also. The crystals, the 40 pounds of crystals, and that story is on there also.
Right. So you might, after the call, if you have not seen the video or listened to the MP3, we have it in two forms where you can just listen, or there's a video with a slideshow. As you listen, you get to see pictures. So that would catch you up and get you up to speed on the short story that she just told. Okay, continue.
Well, I've really basically given, you know, how I first heard about walk-ins in 77, and I've read from the journal about the different types of walk-ins that there are. There's a lot I could talk about. One particular time, I met a surgeon for a person that had open heart surgery, and that was in Colorado Springs, and we had just purchased the A-frame house from him, and he had to, because of his heart, he had lower elevation. And, of course, that house became the house where it was a stargate, and it was sitting on quartz and gold. And, of course, that's where Tesla caught lightning in a jar. Now, I didn't know about that at the time when I bought the house. But back to being a metasurgeon he had open-heart surgery, and he wanted me there, close to him when he had this surgery. And of course, it's not every day that a heart surgeon will give permission to a person to be in the operating room, but I was. And there was a walk-in that took place. Of course, the surgeon did not know that. He just knew he was giving him a new heart. What happened later was most remarkable. While I lived in Las Vegas, I had several clients that worked at the MGM Hotel, and I kept saying, you've got to change jobs. There's going to be a terrible fire, and a lot of people are going to die, and you've just got to change jobs. Well, they didn't change jobs, and all three of those people died. But before that happened, before that fire happened, I was down in Aruba, and for some reason I picked up the phone and tracked down the guy that had the open heart surgery, and he said, I'm fixing I'm fixing to go to Las Vegas. And I said, where are you staying? And he said, well, I'm staying at the MGM. And I said, well, that's not a really good idea. I said, there's going to be, you know, a terrible fire there. And he said, well, I've already got reservations. I don't think I can get another room. So, anyway, he was checking in the MGM, and as he was starting to sign his name, he said he heard this voice, like my voice, saying, do not stay here. You must leave. He said it was so strong he had to leave. He walked out, got a cab, went to another hotel just in time to hear the fire sirens, and the MGM was on fire. That's kind of a walk-in story.
That's where you were the assisting walk-in for the walk-in.
Yeah, right. And I was in Aruba. And it was real hard to even get phones out in those days in Aruba. So, yeah.
So aren't there frequency rules for how walk-ins can, when they can come, how they can come, where they go, what they do? Aren't they governed by frequency and resonance? They have to. What I'm getting at is that you told me a while ago that if someone receives a walk-in where it's a shared body and the person starts committing,
you mean, like,
violations.
Are you talking about a walk-in attachment? Where they share, where two are in one? Are you talking about that?
Right, and then the one person starts committing violations, the walk-in can't stay.
That's true. They leave. I can't tell you how many times I have seen the attachments come, and when the violations, especially with some of these political leaders, when the violations start happening so fast, they just can't even stay to participate. They just have to leave. They just have to leave. I mean, the connection is broken. They just veer off like an airplane.
And they don't get another one.
Not until the next Teton meeting or special dispensation or, you know, there have been times when I've seen high profile people that I thought for sure would never get another walk in. And sure enough, they're right up there on the front. And I'm going, I don't understand this. But it's not for me to understand sometimes. But maybe it's because of their bloodline. Maybe it's because of things that I just don't know about them at the time.
Well, it's probably a time saver if someone is already in a position where they can be more effective, because the person already has that position. If you just if you try another walk-in, you try, reining them in and getting them back on the right track, and then you try again because they already have the position.
Right.
When it would be much more difficult for a walk-in to come to a person who is still climbing a ladder of some political form, and therefore, it's just a time saver if you can get the original guy back on track and try again.
Mm-hmm. You want to open it up for questions now?
I have one more question.
Okay.
Isn't it true that, I have two questions. You can have a walk-in and not really be aware of it. You could have been participating in this in some way, and you're not necessarily aware of it in the front of your brain. You just might feel different, think differently.
Yeah, your brain may not know. Your soul's always going to know. It depends on the level of consciousness that you're functioning upon.
And the other question, let's just hit briefly about sharing a walk-in.
Oh, you really want to go there?
Well, it's one more way for them to express. Well, because it's too lengthy to explain. Too difficult to understand, or
there are special circumstances where one walk-in will rainbow energies between two people, sometimes between three people, depends on what the experiment is. But like Ariel and I, we share a walk-in at different times, and I will, after she calls and talks to me for a while, I go, oh, she's got the girl. I call her the girl. She has the girl today, I'll say. It's just something I know when I spot it. And when I have it, it's that way. I'll be standing in the kitchen, and this energy will just come in, and all of a sudden, I have the girl for a couple of hours, and I do what I need to do if I need to go pick up the phone and call someone and warn them not to get on an airplane to go to Haiti, I do it,
Mm-hmm. And it is, that kind of situation is more transitory.
Right.
It's not a permanent situation. It's more of for a special reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my perspective, when that happens, I just feel like I have a lot of clarity and my brain is working really good and I get really good ideas and then I come up with something that I hadn't thought of before. And, in my perspective, it just kind of feels like I'm having a good day. But, then you call me up and say, I recognize this energy, and, you've had company. So that was kind of what I was saying before, is you don't always realize it. You could just be thinking you're having a really good day or, be on a good roll. So,
yeah.
Yes, we can open the floor now.
Okay.
If anyone has a comment or question on this topic, just press star 6 again and you'll be off of mute.
I'd like Jerry to come on if you would. Jerry, are you are you still there? Jerry, star six yourself, and let me hear from you. Jerry, you still there?
Jerry, if you're talking, we can't hear you. So try star six again.
Maybe he's not there. Okay.
I have a question. What the lady was just talking about, company, how do we know that's not just an angel, not necessarily a temporary walk-in?
That's a very good question, because there are other influences. There are different levels of angelic communication that does happen. I think the reason that I know it to be true for myself is because I know who I am. I know how I operate through all these many years. I know what my system is and what's allowed and what's not allowed. And since I've been working with REL for these past, 17 years, we pretty well know. There was a time when dead people could talk to me, and that had to stop because that was wasting a lot of my time. There was a time when and the angelic realm would come and speak to me, and that had to stop because of so many different agendas and so many different people playing in so many different areas. I had to really specialize myself into what I really was sent here to do. I knew about them. I knew how to communicate with all of them. But, you know, when they all start talking at once, I mean, it was like noise in a football field.
It's like, well, like Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost.
Yeah.
And she couldn't turn it off.
Right.
But you had to learn to filter because there was only one specialty that you were designed for.
Well, actually, I had an ET that I was in training with for 6 months that did a demonstration for me and showed me how they come to clean out astrals out of a room. And they actually gave me a piece of technology to place next to my pineal and in my system that stopped astrals from speaking to me.
Well, yeah, you'd be busy, 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 crazy. I mean, like you say, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, and what for? I mean, what could they possibly say to me from the other side that could help what I'm doing? They don't have access to galactic codes. Now, they're still wondering why they're dead.
Wow.
But to another possibly answer for you in a previous call, we did say that if you think you're dealing with a walk-in, if you ask them three times in a row who they are, they have to tell you. So if you wanted to discern between the angelic realm or the extraterrestrial realm,
right,
three times,
right,
and you'll have to have you answer.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say, Lavendar, that the angelic realm often assists the extraterrestrial agenda?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They're messengers. They are the ones that kind of intercede. It's the development of the consciousness on the planet. However, I know a lot of ETs that dress up like angels, only because it's the only way the person they're dealing with can handle them. They can't handle the ET presence, but they can handle angelic. I've seen that take place. You know, they simply put on a costume and say, you know, and come in. I mean, and both sides use it. Let me say that there's a light side and a dark side to this activity. And you have to have your discernment really intact when called upon to play at this level. And we just lost someone.
Sometimes phones cut off and people have to go. But, again,
yeah,
these calls are recorded so they can catch up.
Okay.
Well, I mean, certainly nobody's afraid of an angel. And if a message needs to be given, a little bit of, you know, wings and familiar appearances would assist the message getting through,
right,
instead of traumatizing someone if they had,
right,
never considered that they'd be contacted by an extraterrestrial.
Right. I would like to take a few minutes just to comment. I've been giving everybody a report every week on this new technology that was given to me by my my friend Jim Graypeck, who showed me this technology that has 6 Tesla coils in it. And I've been laying on this pad, turning on the machine, and experiencing this 8 minutes in the morning, 8 minutes at night for over two, well, going into my third week now. And I've got to tell you, this is probably the most outstanding healing device. When I say healing, I'm talking about taking an energy going up through my cells, throwing them into the up spiral, rejuvenating my spine, my blood, killing parasites, throwing off implants that are no longer needed in my body, straightening up my brain. You know, for those of you that don't know, I've been hit 3 times by lightning, so I'm always having to readjust and calibrate my brain. So this particular technology is probably the best thing. You know, I've tried everything from crystals to Jack Daniels with some of the problems that I've had through the years. Yeah, and I'm telling you, this one's it. I will have up on our website information about this probably in a week or two. But I wanted to give you an update on the things that I'm experiencing with it. Another thing I noticed when I'm laying there for that 8 minutes, my ability to communicate, to project and communicate and manifest, and I'm like there's something about this, the field that I'm in. It's like I'm looking up at the ceiling, and my thoughts are, I can see them in some kind of holographic form.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's just amazing what's happening with me in this technology. And the parasites, it throws parasites, it throws off anything that does not need to be in your body. And I don't know if we can ever advertise this or not. I mean, I read some terms today that I had to sign to participate. And it says you really can't claim too much about this. Well, you know, I really know, I know this technology was built for starseed and walk-ins. And how am I going to get it out there without really telling them, you know, what it is? And you won't be able to say this. You won't be able to say this to normal people.
Oh, so this technology, so if I were to get the equipment, I have to sort of pick and choose who I would treat with it?
Oh, no, I don't think that's, no. It's going to treat anyone and everyone, because what it does is it brings you to natural state, and it opens your rites of passage, no matter what level of human you are, okay? I'm just saying, for those of us that have these special things that are in our bodies, that have been kind of going off and going crazy, and you know, things that have been, you know, if we're being targeted by technologies that are trying to keep us asleep and keep us down from our work,
right?
This completely stops them in their tracks.
And I didn't realize. So you just said you've been doing this 3 weeks. Does it, once you feel like you're really fantastic, then as a maintenance, do you think you do it maybe once a week?
Don't know.
They haven't said.
It's me and experiencing. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this will be my maintenance. 8 minutes in the morning and 8 minutes at night for as long as I have this technology. And the one thing that I know it does, for sure, it completely dispels the electromagnetics of cell phones, computers, and all the stuff that's being pointed at us that's taking down our bodies through electromagnetic frequencies.
Well, see, I've already just bought another necklace, you know, because the polarized from the 80s doesn't handle it anymore. And so I've just bought, you know, a thing for my cell phone, da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, it seems like this would take care of all of that.
Well, no, you always need to have a BioPro on your phone. I'm just saying this is about your body.
Right.
And one doctor had took her blood after she was on the computer for 4 hours, tested it, got on the machine for 8 minutes, took her blood again, blood was totally clear and different. It was like night and day for her. And she was an MD, and this really got her attention. And I hope that Jim gives me the report on this so I can share it with everyone, this doctor's report. Anyway, I just wanted to end the session tonight with a report about this technology. I'll be announcing the name of it and how you can get it. It's, I can't say enough about it, especially with people that have been so bombarded with cell phones, computers, and heaven knows what's going to happen to us after the airport scanners. So,
and there's always HARP.
And HARP. Oh, yeah. HARP. So,
yeah, but you just have to be careful what claims you make because
yeah, I can't
of the
make
government,
any
not
yeah,
because
I know.
Of any other reason. That's why she say you can't claim this and that. You can only say what it did for you.
Yeah.
Because if you start making claims about something,
this is what it did for me. If
that's
it, if
when
everybody
the dark side comes and takes your toys.
No, yeah. I mean, I tell you what, if someone came to this house to take this away from me, I think there'd be a huge fight. I would fight for this.
Well, you always call it research.
Research,
I mean,
yeah.
Just like the QX, it's research for energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Energy balancing.
Yeah. So, Liz, I sent you an email, and so we'll talk tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I printed it up.
Okay,
I printed that all up that I was going to read.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm very, 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 I mean, well, it's an answer to a prayer.
I know. Well, the thing about it is you say a prayer, and this shows up, then you know the prayer's really been answered because this takes care of call all of the above.
Well, I mean, the thing of it is I've been going to, you know, all these other things. I mean, in other words, it will pay for itself in 6 months easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So does anyone else have any other questions about the subject tonight, which is walking?
I have a question.
Okay.
Alicia from Long Beach.
Okay.
How do you become a part of this study, being diagnosed with lupus that my neurologist says is primarily from the electromagnetic pollution and toxins? I'm curious to know how something like this would work on starseeds who are going through the attacks on our immune system.
Are you talking about this technology?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, well, this will clear you up. This, your lupus will be gone. I can say that to you. I won't be able to ever put that in print, but this will turn around anything that anything like that. I can, Alicia, I can send you this 60-page study, and I think lupus is one of the things that they talk about.
Oh yeah, and chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. Well, you know, if the doctor doesn't know what to call it, he calls it lupus, fibromyalgia, or fatigue syndrome.
Well, actually, my neurologist wanted to study me because he hooked me up to some machine and I had a frequency that he hadn't seen before. He picked up on the fact that I had a different biomagnetic frequency. And
well, we know why.
Yeah,
well, in his
he wanted to continue to study me, and I wouldn't let him because it just didn't resonate. It's like, okay, this guy knows what you are. You are not giving him any blood, no DNA. You're walking out of there.
Yeah,
and I haven't been back to see him.
Yeah.
But he picked up on that. He had some kind of gizmo that he hooked me up to.
Yeah.
Well, unless he is in a metaphysical way, like I've got a niece, an MD in Phoenix, and, you know, she has equipment in her back room. You know, in other words, there are people like that. He might be open to this. You'll just have to figure that out after a while.
I was warned not to go back and not to give him any samples. He may be aware, but I don't. Apparently, whatever side he's working on is not in our best interest.
Oh, okay,
got it.
So yes, please do send me that study.
I would
like to look at that.
Yeah. Okay, I will.
And it is about 60 pages. I made sure to have enough paper in there. well, Lou Gehrig's. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And in other words, I've known Beverly for many, many years, and I've had the electroacroscope, the SCIO, the QX. Trust me, this is the Cadillac. I mean, I can get rid of all these other machines, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, this is really...
Now, the FDA has not approved it, and that's probably a good sign. But, of course, they didn't know how to judge it. You know, it sat in customs for a year before it was ever allowed to come in our country. It's made in Germany. I have some more research. I have more reporting to do, you know, to these calls about this technology. I won't even say the name of it right now. I'll just wait. But believe it when I tell you, I think I have found something that's really going to help all of us, you know, keep our natural state, our rites of passage, let us feel good to where that when we get out of bed every day, we're eager to face the day, and no matter what hits the planet, no matter what disaster, you know, is being thrown at us with mind control or anything else, it will keep us in our center. And it will, and guess what? I have more joy in my life.
Well, yes, and I want to say to that other lady, I've worked in the medical field for, you know, 40 years. There was one gal that didn't have a typical MS, and the energy worker found out that she had moved like 10 years before right near all this electrical, you know, like some of these small towns have all this electrical gated community. And it wasn't a typical MS. It was the electromagnetic field that was making her appear like she had multiple sclerosis, and she didn't.
Yeah, right.
Can really give you all kinds of, you know, illness.
True. Okay. It's,
well, we'll all look forward to your reports on this technology in the future.
Okay.
And I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. And if you have friends that couldn't make it, they can certainly find this recording on our main website, starseedhotline.com, and our new forum website, which is starseedhotline.ning.com. And anything else you'd like to add before we say goodnight, Lavendar?
Well, hopefully that you'll tell your friends about our conference calls, and if there are anyone that wants to go on our website and order a star chart reading for their friends or tell people about it, we would just love to. We need to find more star people on the planet to come together to do the work. And we're just one website that's doing it. I noticed that there's probably, I have found 10 or 15 starseed websites. And they're all doing work at different levels. And I think it's great. I think it's great that the Internet, that we can embrace the Internet and use the Internet for the starseed and walk in agendas that we have, and I'm pretty excited about things that are happening. And hopefully we'll have a starseed walk-in cruise out of Long Beach for 7 days down to the Mexican Riviera at
Woo-hoo.
Some point. Yeah. So, and
is there a date for that yet?
No, but I told Harold the other day, he works at a travel agency, and I said, we just need to get on this. And he was, Harold, are you still on? But anyway, he may have gone.
I'm here.
I'll keep everyone posted. You know, I'll keep everyone posted because this will be a great thing for us. We can come together on a cruise ship and get
together.
That would
be great.
And meet.
Oh, and just so you guys all know, Long Beach actually has a pyramid.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. Really?
Cal State Long Beach has a pyramid smack dab in the middle of the campus.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll keep everyone posted, all right? It's been over an hour, so gotta go. We'll see
all
you
right.
next. I don't know what the topic's going to be next week, but it'll be a continuation of things out of the bank vault. Okay.
One thing for sure, it'll be something you won't hear anywhere else.
That's true. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good night. Bye bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Bye.